your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Belmer, Cam Smith, and Brian McDonald.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Quit it now. Welcome
back in. Hour number two, the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5. Brian McDonald, myself, you can find me on X at SackByBMac. Look at that, I said the new term because I'm hip, I'm youthful. Cam Smith can be found as my voice cracks. At Clutch City Cam, and Johnny can be found at Third Coast Johnny. Hit us up on the HRP list line if you want to call or text us there, 713-780-3776. We did get a text in from our man Ocho, who apologized for showing up late to the show, but he says it's time for us to start putting his guy, Peter Joseph Lambert, into the GOAT conversation, Cam. Might be a little early there, Ocho, but...
he's the GOAT of this year.
I'll say this. This might be considered a hot take. I don't think it should be, but Peter Lambert, hands down, without question to me, has been the best Astros pitcher this year.
Yes.
Now, obviously, that's baked in as Hunter Brown missing all of May and whatever else. But, yeah, I mean, Peter Lambert has been great. So, GOAT conversation, we can obviously have in fun, but Peter Lambert has been amazing. All right, so the Mets, along with some other teams, gentlemen, were caught by Major League Baseball apparently last month. A memo was sent out, but they gave them until this return from the All-Star break to get their houses in order, which feels weird because, hey, you're cheating. Stop doing that in 4 weeks. Like, okay, well, that's a little weird. But Major League Baseball has caught some teams, most notably, seemingly, the Mets, with using AI. This coming from a New York Post article. The Mets were among the teams found to have exploited a loophole regarding the use of artificial intelligence for in-game decisions during the first half of the season, sources told the Post. Also came from The Athletic as well, so they should get a mention as well. The crackdown, as I said, was issued on June 11th in a memo, but wasn't put into place until the day before the second half of the season began following the All-Star break. As first reported by The Athletic, Major League Baseball found that some teams were using league-issued iPads in the dugout beyond their originally intended purpose to include recommendations regarding substitutions, pitch calling, and other in-game decisions traditionally made by players and coaches. The custom tab, this is where they are specifically getting in trouble. So they got these league-issued iPads that were supposed to be used for XYZ, as was suggested earlier, but they were going into basically custom tabs, like making their own apps, basically using the iPad and expanding it beyond a place where Major League Baseball intended it. So the custom tab that was allowing teams to access other programs and put in their own apps will no longer be accessible on these league-issued iPads. That's one of the things Major League Baseball is doing to crack down. Major League Baseball has permitted the use of iPads and dugouts for over a decade and noted in the memo that a review earlier this year, I believe this is so important here, this last part. Major League Baseball in a memo earlier this year noted that a review earlier this year showed that teams, quote, were compliant with rules regarding sign stealing and electronic device usage, so no penalties were handed out. BS. Like, look, I'll get into my biggest takeaway from this in a moment. We'll hear from Adam Ottavino, former Major League relief pitcher, on this topic as well. But we saw with what happened to the Astros, where you had proof on the Yankees, you had proof on the Red Sox, you had proof on the Dodgers. There's plenty of things out there on other teams as well, including the Brewers, the Rockies, and many others, where the Astros just got completely scapegoated to the point of, you know, Major League Baseball, like official statements like, the Astros were it, no one else was doing anything, kind of like the NBA did with Tim Donaghy, right? Like, nothing else to see here unless they're presented with something they can't disprove. They're going to try to treat it because it's in their own self-interest that there's no cheating problem in baseball because they don't want to go through that again, much like they don't ever want to go through the the steroid scandal again, right? So, like, how much cheating was going on or sign stealing was going on with these iPads, tough to say for sure. But I do take that Major League Baseball, like, saying that there's no sign stealing with these iPads without being like without being provoked, like without a reporter going, has there been sign stealing with these iPads? For them just put out a memo like, hey, teams are using these iPads illegally, but thankfully none of that illegal usage was to steal signs. I think some teams are stealing signs with the use of the iPads.
What else are you going to do it for?
Well, funny you should ask. Let's hear from Adam Ottavino right now. And this is my biggest takeaway, and just another example of why the Mets are the biggest clown show in baseball. Let's hear from Adam Ottavino on what the Mets were doing with these iPads.
Did you see the story on MLB banning the custom tab on the in-dugout iPad? Any thoughts? Yes, I knew about this for a while. The Mets were actually the main team that got cracked down on. They had an AI program that was very expensive, apparently, and they were bragging about it a little bit early on in the year. Some of the coaches that I know were talking about it from around the league, and they had basically an AI program helping them pick pitches and I think some other stuff, but MLB got wind of it and nipped that right in the butt, so apparently they weren't the only team, but I knew about it from the Mets angle, which, they try to throw some money at the situation. Steve ponied up for, I think this program, from what I heard, was several $100,000 to have.
So the Mets, like, other than the Dodgers, the biggest spending team in baseball, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars for an AI program to tell them what pitches to call. And the result is, let me see here, 41-57, 16 games out in the NL East.
Yeah, it wasn't working. If they were doing it wrong or something, I don't know. But
that's my biggest takeaway.
No. AI was like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah, I saw some people making a joke. Like, they put up a video of Yordan hitting a home run against the Rangers. Like, all right, let's check with AI. Well, you know, a hitter as good as Yordan will not expect a fastball down the middle in this count. Let's go ahead and throw him one. Oh, that went 450 feet. Okay, my bad. But that is my biggest takeaway. Like, was there probably some cheating with this? Yes. But just like sign stealing in 2017, I believe it's most of the league. So even though it's cheating, it's still kind of an even playing field because everyone's doing it. My biggest takeaway is the Mets are just a complete dumpster fire.
Yeah.
They were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars for an AI program on an iPad to tell them what pitches to throw, and they're 16 games under 500, 16 games back in the AL East, or the NL East.
It's honestly what they deserve.
It is.
Yeah.
I just take such satisfaction, especially because Adam Ottavino in that clip, not only says they're using it, but he said in that clip, if you didn't hear it, that coaches were bragging about it earlier, like, oh, we got this AI program that's going to tell us what pitch to throw in a 2-1 count. Yeah, you're 16 games back in the NL East.
Yeah, it's not working for you, bud.
Congratulations,
Max. You know, that's another thing, too. If you're going to cheat, just like social media, if you're going to commit a crime, don't post it online. Why would you walk around bragging to everybody that you've got this AI program you're using, knowing that it's good, you can't do that?
That's a good point, Johnny. And that's actually not even where I thought you were going to go, but you're right. I'd also say to that, if you're going to cheat, like, win. Right? Like,
yeah,
like for make, sure. make it worth it. If you're going to cheat like the Red Sox,
learn
the Astros,
from the Astros.
And the Yankees and the Dodgers, like if you're going to cheat like the Astros, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, win. At least those teams, well, Yankees haven't won anything. So I guess that's a New York thing. They don't get the result from their cheating. But like at least win with it. Like the Mets, again, they're 16 games back of the Braves in the NL East.
Yeah, and it's just like,
and they're, let's see how many games back they are in the wild card. My voice keeps going. They're the second to worst team in the National League right now, only above the Rockies by 2.5 games.
I wonder if AI told them that would happen.
They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on AI to tell them what pitches to throw, and they got them 2.5 games better than the Rockies.
That's bad.
Tip of the cap, New York Mets.
Shout out to you, Rockies, for sticking it through.
For inventing new ways to suck and be a laughing stock, New York Mets.
For not needing AI to suck. Just staying true to yourself.
I mean, the Rockies, like, we didn't have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to be terrible. Although the Rockies did sweep the Astros earlier this year. I don't point that out for any pleasure on my part, but it is a factual statement. The Rockies did sweep the Astros earlier this year. Did I mention I'm emotionally out on the Astros?
You have.
I have? Okay. I don't know if I could further demonstrate that anymore, but I'm emotionally out on the Astros. So one more quick thing before we go to break, and we'll talk about DK and LeBron on the other side. Did you see that Tom Brady slapped Logan Paul?
Hell yeah, I did.
So I got to ask you guys, because now this goes back a little bit. They had Logan Paul and Tom Brady, I think they're on a podcast together, and they had a back and forth, like, I don't know, like 5 months ago, 6 months ago, something like that. If you didn't see it, they're at Fanatics Fest. They were face to face, and Tom Brady, selling it with a pretty angry face, slapped Logan Paul. Now, we all know this is a work. Tom Brady's openly talked about wanting to have a wrestling match. My question to you two gentlemen as non-wrestling fans, if Tom Brady steps in the ring at WrestleMania, will you watch?
Yes.
Cam?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God, Cam, John.
Yeah, you got me.
All right.
I'd watch for that.
Yeah. Wrestling fans, Cam Smith, John Belmer, Tom Brady versus Logan Paul, WrestleMania.
That would be awesome. I would rather see a boxing thing, but
No, you got to fake it. You can't have a boxing match.
Why not?
Because it'll look bad.
I don't know. Tom Brady's competitive as hell. I'm sure he could probably do it.
He can't box. The guy that eats bird seed and avocado ice cream, he's not boxing. He's not boxing. Are you kidding me?
Well, then he's not wrestling. Okay.
They could script it. I think they could be fine. Like Bad Bunny stepped in and it looked really good. I hope Tom Brady's a better athlete than Bad Bunny. Maybe he's not. I don't know.
At this point.
So the moral of the story is it's easy to step in and be a wrestler.
Damn it, you walked me into something. I hate you.
Good one, Johnny.
Dumber. We almost ended the segment on getting you two to admit that you'll watch a wrestling match, and it ended with me taking an L there. I didn't like that. All right, so I promised you the DK only eating candy and drinking coffee. We'll talk about that on the side. I'll also talk about LeBron. And John's got something for us on the Home Run Derby. That one, the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Here's John Belmer, Cam Smith, and Brian McDonald.
Welcome back into the show. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer with you. Mount Rushmore Plus One coming up next segment at 10:30. But right now, a little more fun with some of the off-topic topics, for lack of a better phrase there. I probably should have come up with better there. That maybe weren't full segments, our leftovers, if you will. We mentioned that teased into the break, we would talk about DK Metcalf and LeBron James. So let's start with DK Metcalf. We got some audio here. He was on a podcast with Kevin Garnett. And Kevin Garnett, because I think this has been reported about DK before, but he's a candy fiend. Like, he eats a ton of candy. But he makes a claim here about what his daily diet is that I'm throwing the BS flag on. This can't possibly be true. But let's hear the claim first from DK Metcalf.
I eat one meal a day, drink one coffee, and eat like 3-4 bags of candy.
Man, define bags of candy, man. Jelly beans?
I'm a gummy type of guy. See, you get your lifesavers.
Come on, man. Stop, man. Come on, hold on, man. So you finna go through a structure, a bag of candy. You about to go through the whole. Okay, let's hear this.
All right, I'm just take you through yesterday. So yesterday I woke up, worked out again, came home, showered. I'm hungry. Run to Starbucks, get a quick coffee. That's gonna hold me to like 4-5 o'clock. This 12. Okay. So it's gonna hold me for like 4 hours.
Dang.
Around 4:30, I order some candy and a water. So I got, what did I get yesterday? Got the Skittles gummies. Then I got the Lifesaver Creations. They the same size bag. So I just mix them. Get the gummy, get the candy, get the water, eat that. That's going to hold me to like 8 o'clock where I'm having dinner, 8, 9. And then I eat dinner, go to sleep.
That's an everyday thing? That's Monday through Friday, Monday through Sunday, Monday through Monday? You know, you eating candy like that, huh?
Yeah.
No freaking way. Like, for reference, like, DK is a huge dude. 6'4". 229 is what he's listed at. Just absolutely ripped. And he's surviving on, like, I know if you eat enough candy, you could get the calorie count for that. But there's no way he's waking up, by his own description, again, he's waking up, he's working out twice, he says, then having a coffee. And that single coffee from Starbucks, he claims, sustains him until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. A single coffee from Starbucks. And then at which point he has a couple bags of candy, that sustains until like 8 o'clock, and then he has his only meal of the day at 8 and then goes to bed. There is no way in hell. I'm sure he does eat candy every day. I could see that. But he's exaggerating somewhere along the line. There's no way. Can you imagine waking up every day and the only thing you eat, or the only thing you have in your system, because you're not even eating it, is a Starbucks coffee until 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
No, because I've never done that.
No, no one ever. DK's never done this. No one's ever done this. He's lying.
And I get that there's some people out there that I'm blanking on the term or the method.
There's no way.
But, I mean, there are people out there. I mean, they basically...
The fasting thing?
It's like fasting. Yeah, it's like coffee, water, and then you have like one big meal during the day. But that's for people who are like trying to like lose weight or all sorts of just like random stuff. DK1's not trying to lose weight.
No, and he's jacked.
Maybe this is like an off-season thing, but during the regular season when you're playing football and you're practicing, there's no way your body is sustaining off of two bags of candy.
Great point, Cam. Like, training camp is coming up in like a week or so. You're telling me he's waking up at 6 a.m. or whatever, goes out to training camp, practices his ass off for like 3 hours, and the only thing he's having in the system until 4 o'clock is a cup of coffee?
No.
No, obviously, way. Obviously, I agree with you. I think he's trolling, I think is what
maybe
he's doing.
Maybe so, maybe so.
But I bet you anything he has, like, in between the workouts, like protein shakes or pre-work. That adds calories, that adds protein and stuff. So maybe there's a world where it's close to this.
Like, he may be taking part of the truth. It's just like...
And exaggerating.
Yeah, he's exaggerating.
I just want to know when he said, I ordered... Like,
oh, yeah, does he get candy ordered every day?
Yeah, I guess he's DoorDashing
Sir, did
it, right?
You DoorDash two bags of candy and a water?
He's going to be broke when his playing career's over. You try to DoorDash. Can you imagine DoorDashing every single day? Now, if DoorDash wants to sponsor the bullpen, I mean, shout out to DoorDash.
But, yeah. But
you're also expensive, DoorDash.
That's almost like a DoorDash order where, like, not for me, because the level of DoorDash or whatever.
Oh, look at that brag over there. No, for me, I'm DoorDash elite over here. I'm Cam Smith. I'm a diamond tier.
But that seems like an order. That seems like an order where your fees and taxes and delivery are more than the actual.
Yeah, probably
like
so.
Order itself.
Yeah, but depending on how many bags of candy he's getting.
To be fair,
he said he ordered two bags of candy and a water. That's got to be like $8.
You're probably spending as much in tip and delivery fees as you are for
actual candy and a water.
Yeah, actual candy. But to be fair, for us, DoorDashing every day would feel like a lot. With millions and millions.
Yeah, he did get, what, $150 million cut? No, $120 million from the Steelers?
Yeah, so. I don't think that's any of his worries.
Yeah, he's probably not feeling the burn
not at all.
There as much. So one quick question off of that. If you were, because I don't think any of us believe it. Like, if you were going to be, one, to your point, Cam, if he was intermittent fasting, like, he's not the type of person that intermittent fast, right? Like, that's someone trying to lose weight. DK Metcalf's trying to maintain bulk and muscle mass, right? The other part of that, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're intermittent fasting, wouldn't your big meal kind of be in the middle of the day? Because, like, the people tell you that if you're trying to lose weight, like, the last thing you should do is, like, eat a big meal after 6 o'clock, much less 8, and that'd be your only meal.
Did he say what time he wakes up? Because if he's waking up later, then that might be
maybe,
closer
but
to
he's,
the middle.
He's seemingly going to bed. Like he says, I eat my big meal at 8, and then I go to bed. So I guess he's in bed by like 9:30.
Yeah. I mean,
so he's probably not sleeping in super late if he's going to bed like at 9.
Maybe like it. I was gonna say it would make more sense, but it still doesn't make sense. Even if he's asleep from 10 to 9, which is a pretty lengthy time.
Yeah, it's 11 hours.
The fact that you're still awake from 9 to 10 and you're telling me that you're functioning off of one cup of coffee, two bags of candy, and a meal at the end of the day, like, no. That's...
Well, yeah, because like, let's take your example. He wakes up at 9 a.m. Until he eats that meal at 8, the only thing in his system is, from his own words, a cup of coffee, a bottle of water, two bags of candy.
Yeah, and the fact that you're working out twice. Empty stomach... It's crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't get it
like
at all.
Crazy to me. Like, I would understand if he was like, I woke up, had my coffee, and then did my two workouts. But the fact that you're waking up doing two workouts, and then you're waiting until, what did he say? Or after his two workouts, he's grabbing his cup of coffee.
Yeah, that's when he gets his cup of coffee.
Yeah.
After his second workout.
That's crazy. Okay, guy.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all. All right, John, you got something for us on the Home Run Derby?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to talk about it here a little bit. The format was awesome. I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch.
Yeah, a little bit. I saw that Jeffrey Passan had to take
the change to it.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. But I seen a story here where Bryce Harper, after the Derby, came out and said that the balls were juiced, and it was sort of a controversy. But I just wanted to say, you know, if you're ever going to juice the balls,
yeah,
this is the time to do it, and I would love for them to juice them even more. I don't care. You know, 600.
I go on record. Juice the balls every year at the Home Run.
I thought that they already, like, use different balls for the Home Run Derby. Like,
they
thought
they use different baseballs, not just for the Home Run Derby. This is one of the more things that I think goes under talked about because it's hard to prove because baseball doesn't give us like the exact details. But they change the baseball every single year. Not only do they change the baseball every single year, they change it in season because they'll change it for the next year, but they'll still use the baseballs from the previous year until they run out, and then they switch over to the new ball.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why you see, like, there was that era between, like, 17 and 20 where home runs went through the roof because they were using a juice ball. We know what happened with Aaron Judge and the Goldilocks balls, they called them, that he got the benefit when he hit 60, 61 home runs, whatever he hit. Baseball is weird. Like, they mess with the ball. Football in the NBA, like, the ball is the same every single time. I know we had Deflategate, but basically the ball is the same every single time. For some reason, Major League Baseball changes the ball wildly year to year in season, and it doesn't get talked about at all.
Yeah. No, I already thought that the balls that they use in the Home Run Derby were already, like, altered. But if you want to alter it more...
Bryce mad about this, John?
I'm not sure if he was mad, but there was some controversy surrounding it.
I do not care.
I don't
whatsoever.
Care either. Yeah.
Juice them.
And the actual... Show. Yeah, I know. The actual Derby itself, I don't know if you've seen the ending of it, but there was a lot of like, – it was
Jordan
actually exciting. Yeah, but he comes back and beats the hometown guy when it looked like he was down. I mean, nobody the entire Derby had hit that red ball at the end, and then all of a sudden he hits four of them to take out Schwarber at the end there.
I do
in
like
Philly.
The outs format than the time format, so I thought they made a good change.
What's crazy is like it seems like – and I get why viewership was lower because it was streaming on Netflix, but it was real low.
Yeah.
It was real low. And the thing was,
it's a better format, but it might just be one of those things like the dunk contest that people are just over.
Yeah. People are over it. For
I mean,
sure.
that's what I kind of what I was reading because I was hoping to watch it too. And I was like, well, I'm going to be at the gym. I can watch it on the TV. Right. Then realize, oh, wait, it's on Netflix. I can't watch this. But that's kind of like a lot of what I was reading was, oh, I like the format. I wanted to watch it, but like I didn't want to give my time and effort to streaming source.
Yeah.
I was like,
I still like the Derby. And I even still like the dunk contest to an extent, but it's definitely something that I'm not going to go out of my way to watch.
Side note, they had Barry Bonds and Albert Pujols doing like commentary and stuff for it. Wasn't good.
I can't imagine Barry Bonds is a great commentator.
I can't either.
I mean, who better to have than those two guys? Like as far as what they did,
as far as credentials, yeah. Just Barry Bonds. I mean, he hated the media. It's a little surprising how.
You know, it would be cool with Home Run Derby if they did it. Have you ever been to Top Golf?
Yeah.
You know how like out in the field, there's the different like areas with like the colored rims.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like if they could somehow like obviously like you would it would, like because you know how like you can put images on like a field and it's just like it's not physically on the field but you can see it.
Yeah, graphics.
If they were able to put up like some sort of like targets out in like the outfield.
You
and
just want to turn this into a video game?
And do a baseball version?
A baseball version where like you're still hitting home runs, but like if you're hitting these like particular targets,
you get more
you're getting like
stuff.
More points or something.
I like that.
That'd be pretty, I think I would participate.
Top baseball. I like
top
it.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Cam's out here turning this into a video game. Let's go ahead and talk about LeBron for a quick second. We'll go a little late into the next segment. Just push in and combine there. We'll make it work here. But quickly, Chris Brockman from the Rich Eisen Show, which, you know, shout out to the Rich Eisen Show, but it's a show that's not exactly known for a lot of hot takes. They kind of play it middle field here. You know, there's a lot of fence straddling, not a lot of giving outlandish statements. But Chris Brockman, a member of that show, stated, I guess this last week or the week before, because I don't remember when they were on vacation, that wherever LeBron goes, because Apparently, he's making us wait for a while, much to the chagrin of Adam Silver, which is that, if you didn't see that statement, it's funny. Like, he's begging LeBron to make a decision because he can't set the schedule until he knows what team LeBron's
the
on.
The fact that the commissioner of basketball...
Which I guess that means LeBron's definitely the face of the league if they're waiting to set the schedule until they know where he's playing.
The commissioner of basketball is literally being held hostage by a single player.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
It's crazy. But anyway, Chris Brockman on the Rich Eisen show, his statement was, paraphrasing here, wherever LeBron goes, they're just a play-in team. And LeBron apparently heard that and mentioned in that Fanatics Fest as something that is providing him motivation, which, I mean, you're 42. You've won multiple MVPs. You've won four championships. Like, you need the motivation of Chris Brockman on the Rich Eisen show to put that chip on your shoulder? BS flag on that. But I guess my question to you guys is, do you believe that statement's true? Like, the teams that he's talked about going to are the Warriors. Well, not LeBron specifically, but the odds market says Warriors, 76ers, Cavs, and who was the other team? Miami Heat. Do you believe Chris Brockman is accurate that LeBron, at this stage of his career, being added to those teams doesn't make them any more than a play-in team?
No, those last three teams would definitely be more than a play-in team. But the funny part is... In order to prove this guy wrong, LeBron is essentially going to have to go to a team already loaded with superstars, which is his biggest hit of his.
But, I mean, some of these teams are, I think, already. Like, the only team on here I say is, like, yeah, it's still a playing team is Golden State. Like, Steph is a million years old. He only plays, like, 50
You go to
games.
Philadelphia, you're going to be playing with Embiid and Jalen Brown and Tyrese Maxey.
And VJ Edgecombe.
Yeah.
And like, that team's loaded. Sure. That's not a playing team. Like, no. I looked this up the other day when I saw it. Like, the 76ers last year were one game out of being a top six seed.
Yeah.
Of being out of the play-in. Like, that's not a... Yeah. You add LeBron. Yeah. That's not a play.
It depends on what team he goes. If he goes to a team, obviously, that you're talking about here.
The Warriors, like, I agree.
I agree. But I think what he's trying to say is more or less, not that they're going to be a play-in team, but that the impact that LeBron brings at this point in his career is a play-in impact. You're not going to put the entire team on his back to take him to the finals.
No, you wouldn't make him the number one, but, like, look at his stats. He's still playing pretty well. Now, he's not as consistent. He doesn't move as fast. The breakaways aren't... I noticed that in the Rockets series. Like, when he would get out on the break before, you're like, well, he's about to kill a guy when he dunks it. But now it's like, well, he's going to struggle to make the layup. Like, there is a noticeable drop-off with age, but he's still a very good player. Like, I would say 76ers, they're way more than a play-in team. I think they're a legit threat to win the NBA title. I would say the same thing about the Cavs. Like, if you pair him with Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, James Harden.
If James Harden comes back,
which that's the talk, that he opted out to make room for LeBron, and once LeBron joins them, then Harden will rejoin the Cavs as well. So I think the Cavs and the Sixers are legit title contenders with LeBron. Warriors, I don't. Heat, I'm probably a no also. Like, I know the star power of LeBron James, Giannis, you got Bam there also, who scored, what, like 74 points this year? In a game,
yes,
like
he did.
I know that star
fantasy
power,
team.
I know that star. Shout out to Cam's fantasy team. I know that star power is pretty awesome, but I look at that as, like, those are three guys that all kind of need the same space on the court. Like, none of them shoot the three well. Like, I don't think that's a well constructed roster if LeBron teams up with Giannis and Bam.
I don't think either. I think
especially since they trade away all their depth to get Giannis.
I think it's just the limelight of Miami. I mean, LeBron's already been there.
So.
He has a history of Pat Riley. Who wouldn't want to play with Giannis? Like, but it's just like...
I don't think that works, though.
And I know this is going based off of one guy's comment, but, like, for me, this is almost just like a lose-lose for LeBron, because it's just like, okay, if you don't want the narrative of having to go play with superstars to win, then you can't pick these three teams that have the highest chance of actually winning. So then you go to Golden State, and you only make a play-in game.
See, it's just like, I don't think he would get the Kevin Durant glomming on for a championship unless he went to, like, OKC or San Antonio. Like, if you go to or I guess the Knicks also. Like, if you went to one of those three teams, people are going to, like, all right, you're, like, fake championship if he gets it or whatever. But outside of those three teams, like, I mean, the 76ers, when's the last time they did anything? Like, Allen Iverson in 2001 when they went to the finals? So, like, I don't think he would get that same criticism like Durant did when he went to the Warriors, unless he went to the Spurs, the Thunder, or the Knicks.
Maybe not to that level, but I still think it's there, because you're still like you, it's similar. I mean, I guess maybe he didn't catch a lot of heat, no pun intended, when he went to Miami and joined the Big Three. But that's what I'm saying. Like you're essentially doing the same thing.
I don't think. Well, I know. I don't want to belabor this because we got to get out for Mount Rushmore plus one. But I don't think joining Embiid, who's hurt often, Jaylen Brown and VJ Edgecombe and Tyrese Maxey is the same as joining D-Wade and Bosch. Like the star power alone, I don't think makes that quite the same thing. But we'll disagree to disagree for now. We'll move on and talk about it more when LeBron actually makes the decision 2.0. All right, coming up next here in the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5, Mount Rushmore plus one. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore plus one.
Welcome in Houston to the best part of your weekend. Welcome into Mount Rushmore plus one, the game-changing, am I going to get through this award-winning segment that has forever changed the sports radio landscape in Houston, in Texas, America, the world. And we'll get Cam, myself, John Belmer, Joe George, Sean Mace, Andrew Carlson, RJ Saunders, Josh Javans, AJ Russ, and countless others in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. Gotta say, this a little quieter. He's down the hall in far less than 27 years it took those bums, John and Lance, to get
shut up, you stupid ass. Shut up, you dummy.
That was John. That was Lance from down the hall. He's like three doors down.
I just heard him.
Yeah. We could hear him during breaks. Yeah. He's talking on the phone. But time for Mount Rushmore plus one. I'll go ahead and lead off here because this is, as promised, the follow-up to the one I gave last week where it was the best times for our sports games, as I sound like someone who doesn't watch sports describing sports. The best times for our games of sports to start. Quick recap of those. Those were noon Sunday, Monday Night Football, 2:30 college football Saturday, 7 o'clock in general, and the West Coast college football 10 o'clock on Saturdays because it's fun to come back from a day and still have a college football game to flip on. But the follow-up to that is the worst times for games to start. Now, this is obviously subjective. Some of you might like these times, but this is a list that's personal to me here. All right, first one in, it's the 8:30 a.m. NFL kickoff because the game's in Germany or London, France, Italy, wherever else it's been over there in Europe. Hell, we're going to get that Australia game, which I don't even know what time that's going to be at. I'm not even going to look it up. I'll find out when the day happens. But that 8:30 game, you know what it mostly is? Like, because I'm up early, so it's not really that part. It's having to remember, like, oh, yeah, I have that guy on my fantasy team. I got to make sure, like I having to make sure you remember to have that set. Like, I hate the 8:30
That's
kickoff.
Fair.
I hate the 8:30. But either of you like it?
I do, because I get to get up and watch a game before all the other games begin.
You get the quadruple header instead of the triple header action. I get that.
As a football fan.
But those games always suck, and it's the only game on, so you can't flip on to other. You can't turn on red zone.
Yeah.
You can't flip to another game if it's boring or if it's a halftime. You're just stuck with a boring game.
As a fan of watching football, I don't mind it, but as a person who engages in a lot of fantasy football, I despise it.
I loathe it. So you'll see this when, like, the Astros go, like, for example, before the All-Star break, they played in Washington against the Nationals, right? For some reason, a lot of these East Coast teams, I think the Tigers, even though that's not East Coast, although it is Eastern time zone, do this as well. But instead of their game starting at 7 o'clock local time, they start them at 6:45. So for us, it's 5:45. And maybe this is selfish, but I don't get off until like 6 at best.
It's a little selfish.
Sometimes 7, sometimes 8. So, like, I'm getting off here, like, especially if it's a soccer, like a Tuesday for Soccer Matters, I'm getting off at 8. Like, the game's pretty much already over before I even get off. Like, why the 15 minutes? Like, what does that help? Who's that helping? Who's the 15 minutes helping?
Well, technically,
nobody.
Wouldn't it be 25? Because it's a 7:10 usual start.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking based off of 7 o'clock, but sure, yeah. But either way, but who's that? I would think it would hurt the fans, like locally, like if they're trying to get there from work, trying to get through rush hour traffic, and the game's starting 25 or 15 minutes earlier than it should be. I don't like it.
Yeah, maybe that's my soapbox. You can just listen to it on the radio.
Yeah, I guess. It's not the same, though. It's not the same. The 11 a.m. Saturday college football kickoff. I don't like it. It's too early.
It's never too early for football, Brian.
11 a.m. is, like I said last week, 2:30 is the perfect window for college football. 11 a.m., especially since most of those 11 a.m. games are always a really good Big Ten team against a trash Big Ten team. for the most part, it's always like Ohio State versus Northwestern, 11 a.m. Fox. Like, oh, all right, cool.
Yeah, if it's
kickoff, Northwestern. Like, yeah.
If it's my team playing, I don't care for the 11 o'clock games. If I'm working, though, I love them because then that means I'm out of here by like 4 o'clock. Oh, if you're
working the A&M game? Yeah. I can see that. Next one, worst game times. Not the 3 o'clock window for NFL on Sundays, but that 3:25 window. Why we got to wait the extra 25 minutes? It's mostly like a Cowboys thing, it feels like, which selfishly here at the station, some of us also have to work Cowboys games at times. I did when I first started here. Like that 3:25 is just, it sucks.
It's awkward.
It's just awkward.
Yeah.
I get it. They make it prime time, so the finish is like a standalone bleeding into like the pregame show for Sunday Night Football, but it's just weird. It's out there by itself. I can't stand that part. And last one, also selfishly, but ain't nobody got time for 9 o'clock Astros start on the West Coast. Ain't nobody got time for, you're playing the Sacramento A's and it doesn't start till 9 o'clock. That game finishes
and the Angels.
Jeez. And the Angels. It's terrible. Now, at least the games go quicker now because of the pitch clock. But back in the day, like pre-pitch clock, those games were ending to like 12:30 at night.
God forbid you had extra innings.
Oh my God.
God forbid.
Terrible. So anyway, Mount Rushmore plus one of the worst game times. Cam, what do you got?
So I've been back on a little bit of a like a horror film.
Did you ever see Obsession?
I saw Obsession. I liked Obsession.
Yeah, I loved it.
Like a week later, I saw, I have to make sure I say this correctly, Back Rooms.
I thought Back Rooms was mid.
I didn't really care for that.
I wouldn't call it horror.
No, it was more like a thriller.
Yeah, suspense, really. But I thought it was weird, and I didn't like it that much.
I was recently watching the newest Silent Hill, so it got me thinking.
They had a really low Rotten Tomatoes score, didn't it?
I did not finish.
Okay, there we go. I thought I saw that. You know what? I'll fact check this.
Not because I didn't want to. I just, like, something came up, and I was like, you know what? This isn't a movie that I need to, like, finish right now. I can come back to it.
You remember Silent Hill what? Because there's been a lot of Silent Hills.
I think there's three.
No, but the one you saw was Silent Hill what? Was it Return to Silent Hill?
Yeah, it was the most newest
18%.
One. Yeah, so I'm not too shocked by that. Oof.
Anyway.
So mine is creepy city names or like locations in states.
Oh, like real ones, not movies.
No, real ones.
Oh, because I didn't know if you're going like Raccoon City from.
No. Because there's Silent Hill. Obviously, like the movie Sleepy Hollow, which I really like. Sleepy Hollow is actually a real place in New York. But no, so these are actually real.
Okay, hit me.
City, town, or like area names. So the first one is Slaughter Beach, Delaware.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I will not go to the beach in Slaughter Beach.
Yeah, and like if it was like Slaughter Beach in like a southern Bring town where there's a lot of like barbecue or like cattle, sure. But Delaware, I don't think there's a whole lot of cattle slaughtering out there.
Well, there's also less reason to go to Delaware than maybe any other state in America.
Exactly.
Right? It's and Delaware.
Definitely not Slaughter Beach.
It's Delaware.
Yeah.
If I want to do
shout out Joe Flacco.
If I were to do a Mount Rushmore plus one of the most boring states, Delaware would be on there.
Hence Joe Flacco.
Yeah, exactly. He's the most exciting guy ever from.
Yeah.
Well, maybe also a former president, but anyway.
True. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
Yep. Wouldn't
you wouldn't go there on
vacation? I wouldn't like to see what kind of fish come out of that lake.
No.
The ones that take off your toes.
give you cancer when you eat it. Yeah.
Oh, that's the bayou too. So Gore Orphanage Road, Ohio.
G-O-R-E?
Yep.
Gore Orphanage?
And apparently this one is named...
Why do we put Orphanage in the town name?
Oh.
Trolling. Oh, there's a story.
There's a story.
Okay, hit me.
The Gore Orphanage Road is a road that ran in front of an orphanage that had all sorts of, like... creepy events
and we named
in their
the town
past,
after
including
it?
A couple like deaths. Well, the road.
Oh, the road.
The
is.
Road is
but
called.
Still,
yeah.
Like, let's rebrand.
Why? Yeah. Just,
public image, baby. Come on.
Just name it Orphanage Road or just
no,
Gore
take
Road.
Orphanage out. Name it. Name it Sunny Meadow Lane. Oh. Come on, let's rebrand.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
He said rebrand. He said just make it Orphanage Road.
No, that doesn't help, Cam.
We
gotta move off of Orphanage. Sunny Meadows Lane.
Yeah, anyway. I hope that orphanage is gone, too.
Yeah, let's name it Slaughter Thousands of Innocents Boulevard.
Yeah. The no. next one, Hell, Michigan.
I've heard of Hell, Michigan.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because that one I've heard of.
There's a picture of their sign on the side of the highway frozen when hell freezes over. Yeah.
Yeah. Not too surprised.
You know what? I'd go to Hell, Michigan. Just give people a, Hell, Michigan,
How's
rock
the
and
weather
roll, baby.
Here?
Metal. Just Blair Metallica. The Am I Evil cover.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, go for it. Tell me.
Yeah, lead into it, man.
Go. You might as well. Maybe you'll catch a 10 o'clock flick out there in their one screen theater.
You know me. 10 a.m. is actually kind of late, but continue.
Last one. Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina.
Hell yeah.
Which, oddly enough, is William, the Wright brothers' first flight area.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't know why it's called Kill Devil Hills, but that's where they
Maybe
took
they killed
off
the
from.
Devil there. Maybe they killed the devil there.
I think if I was on a road trip and any of those towns were coming up ahead of me, I'd find another route.
See, I'd go opposite. I'd take a picture with the sign.
I would take a picture of the sign, and then I would make sure I get right back on the highway.
You guys are cowards. Cowards.
Have you seen Wrong Turn?
Fine with me. I'll be alive.
Well,
all right.
You should.
I'll be an alive coward. Okay?
Matt Rushmore plus
yeah,
one.
Thank you.
An alive coward. Better than a brave dead person.
There you go.
That's probably a true statement.
I'll move quickly here. I went to the Astros game last night, right. and the seats we ended up at were terrible. We couldn't see the big board. We couldn't even see the little board on the,
well,
on the other
side.
We were on the first base side by the foul pole all the way up by in the handicap seating.
Okay.
So it was terrible. But it got me thinking about the best places to sit at Daikin Stadium. So this is the Mount Rushmore Plus One of the best places to sit in Daikin Stadium. And you can argue with me if you want. I'm sure
I've got one in mind.
We'll have. Number five.
Two in mind, actually.
Number five, I put standing next to the home run pump.
Because, I've never done that. Have
because
you?
You're out on the balcony.
Yeah.
And it's a different vantage point of the whole stadium.
That's cool.
But you
I've
don't
never done it,
have
but...
a seat.
Yep.
No, standing room
and
only.
That's why it's number five. Because you'd
have to stand
you
for
have
nine
to stand.
Innings.
Yeah. Yep. Number four is not my ideal place, but where it is makes it worth this. Number four is right behind the Astros bullpen. If you've ever sat there.
I have.
You can, like, maybe you don't, but maybe you do. Some people do. Interact with the players.
I went to a game once, and we were, like, trying to pump up Octavio Dotel. Like,
heck
drop
yeah.
the hammer on him. He turns to us. He's like, I'm going to drop the hammer on him. Let's
I was,
started, like, pumping
right
each
there.
Other up. It was awesome.
I was going to say, that's actually probably my favorite place to sit.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm trying to look
that's
at deals and
my,
tickets, that's the first
I've
area.
I've got three main areas I love. That's one
yeah.
of them.
The reason it's number four on the list is because I don't want to break my neck to turn around and look at that the big board. And I don't want to look at the small one on the other side.
I hear that.
So I can follow along.
I like to have the board. Number three, behind either of the dugouts, preferably the Astros. But those first, like, five rows, six
sure.
rows right behind either of the dugouts is incredible.
It is.
Number two, I went with the Crawford boxes. And people will argue with me on that.
No,
because
I'm with you. That's one of my three.
But, yeah, but you get a vantage point of the whole stadium. You got a better chance than anybody of catching a home run when Paredes is up there. So sit in the Crawford
boxes. He's not going to right field. You know that.
Absolutely. And number one, for me, is right behind home plate, but one level up, right underneath the radio and TV broadcast.
That's my number
that
one.
That little section right there is phenomenal.
It's the perfect view of the whole field.
It is.
That's my number one.
I would say the last time I sat there, I was with my mom, and she actually got hit by a foul ball.
Oh, my goodness.
And
you didn't catch
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but say, what happened to your reaction time?
It went It went over us, but because you're in front of the brick where
oh it hit the brick and bounced
back. And hit her head and then I caught it. But the funny thing is that was
off the ricochet
yes,
on your mom's
I
head?
Swear to God, yes. Yo, me and my mom still joke about it to this day. Of
I
course,
just imagine Cam like, hey, Yeah, Dad caught it.
He's celebrating, yep. And she's like, oh, my God.
She's like, on the ground, blood coming out of her head. No. Like, I got the ball.
No, no, I had one arm out to make sure she didn't, like,
one
stumble and
the
then caught
down,
it with
Cam.
The other one.
Put the ball down. But Cam, and help your mom.
The best part was, this is around the time where, you know when you could, it was around the COVID time, and you know how you could, even if you couldn't go to the game, the Astros did that crazy promotion where you could make a
the cutout
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So she did that because she had, like, partial season ticket seats there, but the image of her has a baseball hitting her head, which is
and they
like,
approved it.
They approved it, and she
that's
still
awesome.
Has that cutout in
that's
her
awesome.
Office to this day.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So shout out to my mom.
Yeah. Shout out to Cam's mom.
Yeah. Took it for the team.
I'm not going to shout out you prioritizing catching the baseball over helping your mom, but
I helped my mother and caught the ball at the same time.
You know, you could have told that story any other way. Like,
yeah.
Made yourself look
but then
like
I'd be lying. Then I'd be lying.
Cam, and you're like, oh, I got the baseball. Sorry. Hey, mom, hold on a second.
Guys, you say this because you weren't in that instance, okay? There's not a whole lot of time to react, okay?
You had enough time to react to catch the baseball.
Right?
Well, yeah, she deserved it after getting hit in the head. Yeah. I'm not going to let some punk kid get the foul ball after I hit my mom.
All right, let's roll into Mount Rushmore Plus One. We'll have to be quick here. I'm not Mount Rushmore Plus One, sorry. We'll finish up with our worst people in sports this week, what we love from sports week this week in the couple minutes we have remaining. My worst person in sports this week, we'll skip the one with audio, Johnny. Fox, I don't know if you saw this, but apparently in 2016, Game 7, there was that rain delay for Cubs in Cleveland. And apparently a top-level Fox exec tried to get Major League Baseball to suspend the game and play and continue it the next day because they wanted to pop another like $25 million in ratings for the conclusion of the game. For what turned out to be, this is what makes Fox look even worse, for what turned out to be a 15-minute rain delay. And they wanted to suspend Game 7
greedy.
World Series to move it over to the next night and pop another number. So my worst person in sports is Fox. Cam.
Anytime that I can rag a little bit on LeBron James, I'm going to do it. So right now he's not the worst, but he's just my most annoying person right now.
Because he's holding the league hostage? What part in particular?
Yeah, because he's doing the same thing that he did in Miami. He's making a showboat about picking a team. It's just like, dude, just pick a team already. Like, my God.
Just over it. Yeah.
Yeah. Can we get the schedule released? Like, Jesus.
I mean, to be fair, like, what's the rush? The season doesn't start till late October.
I mean, technically there is no rush. It's just me wanting to crap on LeBron.
You know what? That's what this segment's for.
Yeah,
it's the worst people in sports. You know what? That's on me, Cam. I shouldn't have stepped on that. John, who's your worst person?
Yeah, on Friday I was listening to you and Big Sarge do your thing.
And
Big Sarge had a bad take, in my opinion.
Oh.
He said he was looking forward to Sunday. And you said, for the World Cup final. He said, yes, because finally the World Cup will be over.
I know. Big Sarge is not like a football.
Man, the vibes around the World Cup have been really good. I'm a little sad that it's over. I just think that's a bad take.
Did you hear my comparison to... like comparing what this final would be in NFL terms? I don't know if you agree with it.
Yes.
So Cam didn't hear it. And this is how I was trying to sell Big Sarge on it, because he's more obviously a football fan than a soccer fan. But because of the quality and the historical nature of the two teams involved, because of the age of Lionel Messi, the current GOAT, versus Lamine Yamal, the 19-year-old, like, upcoming GOAT.
Yeah.
It really feels like the 2019 season, 2020 Super Bowl of Bucks versus Chiefs. You got these two teams who have both won Super Bowls. You got Tom Brady, the GOAT, versus Patrick Mahomes, his heir. This feels like, you know, Tom Brady, Lionel Messi, Patrick Mahomes, Lamine Yamal, two teams with history that have won Super Bowls. So that's the kind of the feel I get. To me, if you can't get excited for what we're getting tomorrow with Spain and Argentina, then you're just not going to get excited.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at. Are you going to watch, Cam?
Oh, hell yeah.
All right.
Especially since we're not going to get it for four more years.
I know. All right. So let's leave the anger sharks aside, though. Go ahead and doggy paddle over to the Sea of Tranquility. We'll talk about this quick. What I love from sports this week, two things quick. Erling Haaland is just the gift that keeps on giving. He was hitting golf balls off a yacht. Now, they were biodegradable golf balls, he pointed out, so they will turn into food for the fish, so don't worry, PETA. But he's hitting golf balls off a yacht while listening to Ella Langley. He's just the best.
Yeah.
And then quickly, we won't play the audio, but Mike Tyson, if you didn't see it at the ESPYs, he thought Shohei Ohtani was a woman.
He gives the head a little too many times.
He gives the award. He's up there with Jake Paul and I forget who else, and they give out the award, and he says it's, you know, the winner's Shohei. Jake Paul says, you know, he couldn't be here tonight, and Mike Tyson turns to Jake Paul, honestly goes, Shohei's a guy? So, Mike Tyson's my other love from sports this week. Cam, what'd you love?
Caitlin Clark becoming the first ever WNBA player to knock down a 45-10 game.
That was pretty crazy. I saw that headline. John?
Heck yeah, I didn't see that. It's awesome. Mine was the picture that's been going around of Messi bathing Yamal as a child.
So crazy.
It's so crazy. It's one of the most insane
things.
I've seen in sports.
Just the randomness of any baby you could pick.
Any baby.
And it happens to turn out to be
the next Messi.
He had that magical touch.
The magical touch, apparently. A goat blessing the next goat. All right. That'll do it for this week. For Cam, for John, I am Brian McDonald. Thank you for listening, Houston. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Justin Herbert is a bust.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.